So today on Rotary Matters, we are joining the train to end polio now. And with me is the local organiser, Mark Anderson. Mark, before you tell us about the condition itself and the purpose of today's ride, could you just background us a bit on polio? This is David. Yeah, David.
Hello. So the Rotary Foundation has been involved in eradicating polio since 1979. There was a pilot program in the Philippines where we were thinking, could we eradicate it from one country? And it was successful. So from 1985 onwards, we've been rolling out all around the world. In 85, there was 120 countries endemic with 350,000 children per year getting polio. Thankfully, we managed to get that number down to just two countries left. We're almost there. We are this close to ending polio.
And the two countries that still have some cases of polio, and Mark Anderson.
Thank you. The two countries are Pakistan and Afghanistan.
And why do we have that situation in those two countries?
We had a limited window, and with the wars and everything that have been happening in those two countries, and the Taliban over time had been anti-vaccination. Now, all that changed a couple of years ago, and Rotary has negotiated with the Taliban both in Pakistan and Afghanistan. So we're now going out and fully vaccinating all the children in both of those countries. So, for example, people say the Taliban are very anti-women doing anything. 25% of all the vaccinators right now in Afghanistan are women, right? 100%, but a high percentage of the healthcare workers in the country are women, and they are allowing us to get to every child in the country. So, good news story all around.
So, today's train ride is called End Polio Now. Mark, when do you think you will have ended polio?
Good question, but World Health say, given the current circumstances and the current environment as to what's happening, they're fairly optimistic that 2026 we will probably see the last case, given that we've only had 9 this year of wild polio. New vaccines were introduced 2 years ago, so there's now a huge reduction in vaccine-derived polio. So last year, I think it was 900 cases year-to-date. This year-to-date, we're down to 300 because the new vaccines are taking effect and going through the systems. So World Health seems to think that 2026 will see the last case. You keep vaccinating to 2029, which means in 2030, they're pretty confident to say, all over Red Rover, it's a done deal. So polio will then become the second only virus to ever be eradicated after smallpox, which I think was 1979, where they declared the world smallpox free.
So quite clearly, we're on the cusp of eliminating polio. And today's ride taking place in the Greater Sydney area. Dave Anderson, I know you had a lot to do with the design of this. How many railway stations are people expected to pass through?
We're expecting to pass through 189 unique locations. So there's 189 stations around the network. A few of them will go through twice, three times, just because of the backtracking. But there's 189 we'll be getting through. That's why we're asking a lot of people for $18.90. That is 10 cents per station, or $10 station.
And if anybody was to do the whole ride, and I think you're one of them, what time of day did you start, and when do you think you might finish?
So the first train was from Cronulla at 4:33 this morning. We were actually awake at 2:30 to get to Cronulla. And we are hoping to finish just past 10 o'clock at Tallawong.
Tallawong is on the new metro line?
Yes, it's on the Northwest Metro. It's the end of the line. However, after we do that, we still need to get home after that. So we're heading back to Cherrybrook after that.
So Mark and Dave Anderson, both congratulations to you both on this initiative. Mark, how will you assess the success of today's End Polio train ride?
The best way of measuring it is based on the income that we derive that the Rotary Clubs have done with their fundraising. Over the last 5 years, we've raised $550,000 doing this train ride. As of sitting here right now, we've just passed Tarramurra Station heading towards Barara. We're at $63,000 today. So we're on target to get to our $100,000 that we want to raise for this train ride. So we're wildly happy.
Well, congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
You've still got a long way to go. Yes. More and more Rotarians will be joining this journey as we head north.
Yes.
And complete the circuit. On behalf of Rotary Matters, the radio program, congratulations again to you both and wishing you every success for the rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
So today on Rotary Matters, it's a great pleasure to have with us the Eastern Regional Chair of an organization called ROMAC, R-O-M-A-C. We're going to find out about that in a moment from Anita Robinson. So, Anita, firstly, tell us, what do the initials R-O-M-A-C stand for, and how is this organisation governed?
Yeah, thanks, Ian. ROMAC stands for Rotary Oceania Medical Aid for Children, and it is governed by a group of Rotarians that covers Australia and New Zealand. We have a board, and then we have, you know, down the line, we have regional chairs in each state. And then from there, so it's part of Zone 8, so that's why it covers the Pacific Islands, Australia and New Zealand. It originally started just in Australia, and then sometime later New Zealand came on board as well.
Okay, so what essentially happens? We've got children in Pacific countries who are unwell. Can't receive the medical or the surgical treatment that they need in their home country. So they come here or they may go to New Zealand. How many children have had the benefit of that ROMAC experience? Any idea?
Yeah, well, we're up to about almost 600 since it started. Yeah. So it started in 1988 by a Rotarian in Victoria called Barry Cooper. Barry and his wife went to Fiji on a holiday, and they saw this little girl and they inquired. They actually paid for this child themselves to have treatment in Australia. And then the idea of starting something, a Rotary program, started from that idea. So Barry Cooper is the original instigator, I suppose, of our wonderful organisation called ROMAC.
Okay, so it's for children. What is the age range?
Newborns up to the age of 15.
Right, okay.
Ian, can I just elaborate, though, if somebody has some treatment during that time and they need further treatment and they may be 16 or 17, they are still classified as a ROMAC recipient.
Right. What countries do they mostly come from, the children who come here for treatment?
Okay, so the main countries we treat children from is Timor-Leste, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, Fiji, Papua New Guinea.
And they come here, but they also go to New Zealand.
Yes, so what happens is, so anyone can do a referral. I mean, most of our referrals will come from in-country medical teams, whether it be a community nurse or a doctor on one of the islands. But anyone can do a referral. So they can go to the ROMAC website and they'll see up in the right-hand corner, once they're on the ROMAC website, that it says refer a patient. So they fill in as much detail as they can on that refer a patient website. We have an operations manager who currently is Queensland, and she looks at that daily. And she then looks at all the information and might go back to the referring person and ask them some more questions. If she has got all the information that she requires, she then sends it on to our medical director. We have a pediatrician, medical director, and he then comes back and says yes or no, basically, if ROMAC can help.
So at the home country, they propose children. They are screened, or the application process is screened here. It gets reviewed by the medical director. I imagine the demand must be far greater than the supply that you can provide.
Yeah, absolutely, Ian. And of course, COVID didn't help. You know, we weren't able to bring children in during COVID, but they were still getting sick, or, you know, the referrals were still coming through in the hope that once things had settled. And as we all know, we had a bit of up and down with COVID. We sort of opened up and then we didn't in some things. So our referrals kept coming through. So we have quite a list of children that need our help.
And I guess you must also need quite a wide pool of skills here in Australia, in the surgical area, for example, to be able to service these needs. It must cover many medical specialties, from cardiology to orthopedics to neurology, goodness knows, burns treatment. There must be so many specialists that you need here. How do you find those doctors willing and able to donate their time to treating these children coming across on the ROMAC program?
Well, fortunately for me, as I've only taken on the role since March this year, and as ROMAC had been doing wonderful work for over 30 years, a lot of those things were already set in place. But then over the time, those surgeons have retired, or so we need to find new ones all the time. But I am very lucky, if I can talk about the eastern region, I am very lucky with Westmead Children's Hospital and the Sydney Children's Hospital at Randwick, that I have a liaison registrar doctors in each hospital who I go to. So for me, I would go straight to them and say, and give them details of the patient. But before it gets to that stage, once the medical doctor has approved, then it goes out to all the regions in Australia and New Zealand. And some areas can do more in one medical field than others. So what happens then is the regional chair would pick up a child and say, I will investigate the possibility of bringing that child into Eastern. And so that lets all the other regional chairs know that I'm first going to look at bringing this child in. So then I would go to my contacts at either Westmead or Randwick Children's Hospital and send them all the information. And usually at this stage too, it's really good, we have all medical reports as much as possible. So for the medical director to come back and say yes, he would have had to have a lot more information than the original referring document. So we have all that that I can send. I can send all that to my contacts, and then they will come back to me and say, leave it with me. I think I've got a surgeon, or, you know, I will don't think we can possibly do it for you. And so then I would throw it back to my operations manager and say, unfortunately, Eastern can't help with this child. And then it goes back to the other areas. But so far this year, since March, I've been very lucky. We have been extremely lucky in New South Wales, whereas unfortunately New Zealand they've only got the Starship Children's Hospital, so they've had to cut back at this stage because of their ongoing needs for their own children in their country. But I am very grateful. The ACT, we're very lucky down there with the Children's Hospital down there. So far for me, it is working really well.
So we're talking today on Rotary Matters with Anita Robinson, who is the chair of the Eastern Region on behalf of ROMAC. She's been explaining how children get selected. There's quite a rigorous screening process. Anita, you yourself have a medical background, which must definitely assist the smooth flow here. A child arrives in Australia, presumably by plane, probably with a carer. What happens? They arrive at the airport. What's the next thing that happens to them?
So, welcome back. It's Rotary Matters on 888 100.1 FM.
Today we're talking with Anita Robinson. She chairs ROMAC. This is Rotary Oceania Medical Aid for Children, which brings children from Pacific Islands to Australia or New Zealand for world's best surgery care and rehabilitation. It's life-changing in every sense. We're now going to find out what actually happens when the children first arrive into Australia. And we're discussing the specific medical status of young Melanta from Melanata from Tonga.
Okay, so first, before they even arrive, the process, you know, a lot of these children might not have a passport, or mum or their carer might not have one. So we have to organise that in country. But this is where Rotary is amazing. You know, even in these Pacific Island countries, Rotary is there. And we have contacts that are in these countries that are Rotarians. So we contact them to help us because at the moment I have a little baby I'm trying to bring in from PNG and lives in a very small village. And so we were able to get our Rotary partners from the closest town to go and organise the passports for us. So that was wonderful. And moving on, I'd like to talk about that child a little bit more as we go through the process. But so then they, then we, after I've had a doctor and a hospital to agree to help me with this child, I then have to ask them for costs. They then give me a costing, which, you know, the whole process can take, you know, months and months.
Yes, yes.
They give me a costing and then I have to then present that to my ROMAC board. It's not just because the medical director has said yes and the hospital has said yes and I have a surgeon, I still need my ROMAC board to approve. And I think that's important because we all need to be governed and accountable for what we, you know, spending donation money that we get from our Rotarians and the public. So then if the board approves my costing, we then apply to the Australian government for a visa. And at the moment, unfortunately, some of our visas are taking longer time. I recently had an appointment with my local federal member to try and help me speed up visas, and he was wonderful. So hopefully we can, you know, help improve that a little bit. So then when they arrive,
So you've got a lot of red tape to get through, even before the family arrive here in Australia. Does ROMAC cover, for example, the travel costs of the patient coming here? They do.
We do. We cover everything. Sometimes we're very lucky. As I was just talking to you about this little baby that I want to bring in from PNG, the doctor didn't know about ROMAC. He did. He actually sent an email to a surgeon at Westmead. And it's quite interesting how I then got involved, because what happened then was the surgeon then asked the hospital, you know, can we help this child? And it was wonderful because the hospital said, ROMAC, why aren't ROMAC aware of this child? So then they sent the email on to my contact at Westmead and said, what's the possibility of ROMAC helping with this child? And so then he sent it to me and he said, Anita, what do you think? And I said, let's go for it, but we need more information. So that, you know, to me, that was an amazing process, because when I actually contacted the surgeon, all I got it back in an email, you know, surgeons are a lot busier than me, was two words, I'm in, which was lovely.
Yeah.
You know, we knew then that the hospital had sort of agreed, because they were the ones that recommended ROMAC, and we knew we had a surgeon. But then, you know, it's been a few months, so we're still waiting. I'm hoping to have costings this week for this child.
So roughly what is the average cost to bring the child from a Pacific country here, the meeting, the greeting, the accommodation, the hospital fees, the medical fees? and all that? I mean, roughly, what's the number are we talking about?
Look, Ian, I was trying to look on the website myself yesterday to try and get a costing on that. Obviously, some take a lot more costing because of rehabilitation, like some of our burns. And we have a young fella that's been here most of the year. I don't know if you had an opportunity to see his story because Channel 7 came out and did his story, Senri Tengada, because he, unfortunately, the Solomon Islands, he's the loveliest young man. The Solomon Islands still have some landmines. And even though the children are told not to touch them, be, you know, cautious of them and that. In 2021, he got the better of him as a 12-year-old with his mates and he picked one up and it blew up in his hands. So we weren't able to bring him in because of the COVID restrictions. So the Solomons did what they could up there, but we brought him in earlier this year and he had contractions of his hands like this.
Yes.
So we have an amazing reconstructive surgeon at Children's Hospital, Dr. Sarah Tollerton. One of Senri's hands was really bad, his left hand. And so Sarah Tollerton was able to put pins in his hand and stretch them out. And then a few weeks later, they removed the pins and did skin grafts. And so Senri is still with us because he is having massive, you know, hand physiotherapy, that kind of thing. So the cost for him has been probably one of the highest. But in saying that, poor Senri, he was supposed to come with his mum. And unfortunately, during the COVID break, his mum passed away. And then his sister was going to come with him. And she fell pregnant, so she wasn't able to come. So Rotary stepped in again, and we have two families that care for Senri. And because he's been here so long, there was concern around his schooling. So he attends a school, and he is just amazing. But he is giving back. He's now 14. And he has attended so many Rotary clubs. He's staying with a Rotarian up in Brisbane, goes to a lovely school up there. The principal is a Rotarian. So, and the school, because he missed so much school back at home, he was not anywhere near where he should be for a 14-year-old. So they are putting in extra time. And this is what Rotary does. It's just amazing. And he is, you know, doing all the right things. He's visiting Rotary clubs, telling his story. And would you believe he is a mad soccer player?
Uh-huh.
And obviously, and you'll never guess, but his position he wants to play is goalie. So it was really important to him to get his hands working again. We were very fortunate. A Rotarian from District 9685, which is your district.
Yes.
Son used to play for Sydney FC, so they got in contact with Andrew Redmayne from Sydney FC, and when Senri was at the kids' hospital, Andrew went and visited him and gave him a goalie shirt. Well, it was just we had trouble getting it off him to wash.
Well, listeners, we're talking about ROMAC, the Rotary Oceania Medical Aid for Children scheme. We're talking with Anita Robinson. A lovely story just now of a boy called Senri who came here, still here, waiting to complete his treatment. So they can be here from a number of weeks to many, many months. You mentioned Senri, Anita. Anybody else spring to mind who you've...
Yeah, well, since I've taken on the role since March, I've been involved with four children. So far, Senri is the only one still here at the moment. We are bringing back a little baby from a little baby called Melanate was born in Tonga last June, I think it was, in 22, and she was born with a teratoma on her sacral area, and we're very lucky in the ACT. We have a memorandum of understanding with the Children's Hospital down there. So they allow us so many children for X amount of dollars. which is wonderful because it helps Romac plan because we know what our costing is, and it just works really well. So Melanate and her mum Michelle went to the ACT last year, and Melanate had surgery, very successful surgery, but when they did the pathology, most of the times these teratomas are benign, but they did find a few cancer cells, and so the decision was made that they would give for and to be very successful, the doctors felt that to give her some chemotherapy. So they brought her up to Sydney, and that's when I got involved with her at Randwick Children's Hospital. And, of course, the team there were amazing. And so we eventually finally, Mum and Melanate were here for 9 months. Again, Romac is lucky with the Ronald McDonald homes. So, and the one at Randwick actually has a separate little section where they're like little apartments, so Mum can have more room. And while Melanate was having her treatment, you know, the concern around infection and things like that. So they were able to stay in one of those accommodations. And, of course, lots of Rotarians visited them, made sure they had food. We did everything for them. So it was wonderful. And they built wonderful relationships with a lot of Rotarians, especially around the kids' hospital. And then we sent them home. I think it was about the Good Friday or the Saturday of April this year, just after Good Friday. But ongoing, we are about to bring Melanate back for further MRIs and just a checkup.
Okay.
So the process goes on a little bit.
So we'll be finding out. So welcome back to Rotary Matters. We've been talking with Anita Robinson about a wonderful project to bring children to Australia from the Pacific Islands for surgical and medical treatment. It's known as ROMAC, Rotary Oceania Medical Aid for Children. And here's Anita.
Okay.
So the process goes on a little bit.
So just to be clear, a teratoma, Anita, is what exactly?
It's not, I can't say always benign, but it's a sacral growth, if I can say that.
Okay.
On the back.
So Melanate will return to Australia. To
The doctors are keen to have her back. So we've got that. We're just waiting on, again, a letter. But I received an email yesterday to say that was in progress. And then we will apply for visa. The good thing is that Mum and Melanate would still have passports and things. So we don't have to go through that process. And the medical visa for them should be quite good, should be quite quick.
Good. So we've heard about Senri, who has, whose hands are recovering and he's keen to be a goalie playing soccer. We've heard about Melanate and the fact that she'll need to come back again. But it's a great tribute, isn't it, I believe, to Rotary and to Romac and to yourself, Anita, for persevering in these cases. Anybody else that you can mention?
So another little boy that I got involved with back in April was a little boy called Izzily, a 9-year-old from Tonga. And Izzily is a child of 7 and lives in a small village in Tonga. And unfortunately, when from the age of 3, Izzily suffered with bouts of pneumonia and chest infections. And over the period of the next few years, it was, you know, quite significant. He was constantly getting these, having these problems with his lungs. So it was decided that we would bring him in for further testing to see what was actually going on. So Izzily and his mum, Michelle, or Miriam, sorry, is her name, they arrived in April and we picked them up from the airport. So the process is that they're met by Rotarians. And we then transport them either to, sometimes we can use, if they've got relatives here, we can use their homes. They might stay with them pre-op for a couple of days, or we take them straight to Ronald McDonald House, or we bring them, you know, a Rotarian takes them in until the hospital says your admission date is such and such. So Isley was here for a couple of days, and we actually, they stayed in a motel for a couple of nights, and then he was admitted to Westmead Children's Hospital, where he had a bronchoscopy, you know, a look down in his lungs, just to see what was going on. They then kept him in hospital, and the decision was made that Isley needed a thoracotomy, which is an opening into his lungs, and he had major surgery. So unfortunately for Isley, that was the best decision for him moving forward, because part of his lung on his right side, I think, Ian, had basically died. So there was not good blood flow and things like that. So, but, you know, he spent a couple of nights in intensive care. We were all with mum. A few relatives sort of surrounded her. The hospital are amazing. Even though mum could speak English, it was sort of like a bit of a broken English. So the hospital, we Rotary and the hospital, we organise interpreters to make sure that they fully understand what's happening to their child.
Right.
That is really important for any parent, really, to make sure you understand what's happening. And then, of course, at the kids' hospitals, mums or the carer, they stay with them. You know, they have a pull-down bed in the room.
And what is Isley's situation now?
Isley went home on the 27th of May, and he's doing extremely well. He was here for a while. He was in hospital for just under 2 weeks. And then I made the decision that it was better for Isley and mum to stay at Ronald McDonald House at Westmead, then go back to the relatives' home, mainly because we wanted him to have daily physio for the first week. So from Ronald McDonald House, he and mum could just walk across to the physio department. But also, I had a concern around infection and things like that, and we wanted to make sure. And she understood that, and they were really good. And then for a few days before they went home, we allowed them to stay with relatives so that they could say goodbye, because, you know, chances are of them coming back to see their relatives again, I'm not quite sure, you know. So, but Isley's doing really well. And then we get you know, all the post-op notes, mum does as well. And then we send them on to, Isley was referred by the hospital up in Tonga. So we make sure all that information goes back to the referring doctor. And mum has explained exactly, I was there on the day when the hospital explained everything to mum, what she must do when they go home, and to make sure that she follows up and all the correct procedures are done as well. But, yeah, so he was another very successful Romax story. He didn't have to stay here all that long. I think they were probably here about 6 weeks all up. They're the success stories we like to hear. And unfortunately, though, with all the illnesses that he had during his little life, he missed quite a bit of school. So there's probably a bit of catch-up for him to do up in Tonga when he returns home.
Okay. Yeah. Nita, thank you for those lovely stories of Senri, Melanate and Isley. Fine examples of Rotary going way over and above the call, above the cause. And I congratulate you for the wonderful work that you're doing. Before we go, and we're just about out of time, what can listeners to this program do to help? Is there a website, for example, they can go to have a look?
Obviously Romac has a wonderful website. We would want as many people to subscribe to our e-newsletter, and that way you get updates on all our patients. But the sad thing is, and if I can just say this very quickly, is our donations have dropped off. In 2017, from Rotary clubs, we received 19% of our funds.
Right.
You know, our donations have dropped right off. And now, in the last year, we only received, you know, 13% of 230,000.
Right.
And that covers all the Rotary clubs in Australia and New Zealand.
Okay, so listeners, this is what you've got to do. You've got to go on the internet. You just Google the word R-O-M-A-C. It'll take you to the website, and there you'll be able to find exactly what they do. You'll see some more case studies of the children they've helped, and you'll have an opportunity through that website to make a donation to support this wonderful humanitarian work. Anita Robinson, thank you very, very much indeed for helping tell the story today to our listeners of the great work of Rotary Oceania Medical Aid for Children, a terrific project. Well done.